And now introducing Mr. Bruce Argyle.
And thanks very much, Shani. And now you know the weather, you know what's happening today and tomorrow and the next day. That's fantastic. Good morning, everyone. You've joined us for our weekly Community Conversations program. Lots happening out there, isn't there? Many of you will be enjoying the school holidays. Well, perhaps you are. Perhaps you haven't travelled as far or been able to travel as far as you had hoped. Some of you out there will be doing the pruning on a cold winter's morning as we start the 2022 vintage out there. Megan Buntine, I know you're listening through podcast, streaming. You're on your way back from South Australia. Kim Harris, you're back on air. We're excited to have you back as a presenter on your early morning show. And this morning, as I've already flagged, we have Shani here filling in for Cora. Thanks so much, Shani, for producing our show this morning. Listeners, how are you tracking? It's been, well, a few big weeks, hasn't it? We've had the infamous COVID on again, off again. We've had storms. We have gone past the shortest day, but I don't know about you, this morning was very wintry. We've got a couple more months of winter still to go, I reckon. Earlier in the year, we started a series of three programs with Rod McHale and, well, then Christy Sumner. Hi, Christy, if you're listening this morning. Talking about things happening in Warburton, Yarra Junction and around the place. This is the third of those programs. We've talked about sports. We talked about good sports and some of the amazing sporting programs happening in the Warburton and Yarra Junction areas. And we talked about water wheel and renewable energy and the hydro scheme. And that was pretty amazing too. And today, well, we're going to talk about some other amazing programs, activities, some of which you won't know anything about. So stay tuned, because here in the studio this morning, I have two special guests. It's Rod McHale. Rod, great to have you back with us again today. You've come back for a third dose, so thank you so much on a cold winter's morning.
Thanks, Bruce. Good to be back here.
Yes, fantastic. And Rod is the chair of the Upper Yarra Community Enterprise Limited. He's the treasurer of the local bowls club. He's a Warburton. Do you live in Warburton? Is that right?
Yes,
Rod?
I do, Bruce.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
60 years.
60 years. So you're almost a local. That's fantastic, Rod. And sitting next to Rod, we have Rick. And Rick is, well, Rick, how will we describe you? You are a director at ECOS. You're a director with the Upper Yarra Community Enterprise Limited. You're a tiny house aficionado, and you're just a good all-round bloke. How does that describe you?
That's okay, Bruce. Yep. Great to be here.
Fantastic. And this morning we're going to be talking about, well, some of those activities, some of the things that are happening in your community. And if it's not your community, well, maybe you'll get some ideas to take to your community. We're going to start with a song, though, this morning. And we've got Peter Andre and Mysterious Girl. And we'll come back and let's talk all about it.
Sure. I try to concentrate, my mind wants to explore. The tropical scent of you takes me up above. Girl, when I look at you, oh, I fall in love. No doubt you look so baby girl.
Bruce Argyle, we're on Community Conversations, and my very special guests here in the studio are Rod McHale and Rick Butler, and we're talking, well, a few community projects, a few community initiatives, including a little bit about ECOS. Do you know about ECOS? That's an amazing organisation. Rick's going to tell us all about that in a little while. But, Rod, let's start with you. You've already said that you're a local because you've lived here for 60 years, so we think we can tick that box. But how's the community travelling, with storms and COVID and winter and all of that? How do you think the community is travelling at the moment?
Well, the community, particularly Warburton and Yarra Junction, are very resilient. And we probably dodged a bullet a little bit with the recent storms. The actual damage around the area wasn't anywhere near as severe as it was up in the Dandenongs, and we certainly feel for those people that have gone through such a traumatic process. We've lost power for a number of days, but nowhere near the extent of the problems in a number of other locations.
They did it pretty tough, Rod. I heard somewhere that they reckoned that they'd taken enough trees off the roads and public parks and spaces to fill an MCG of trees already. Yeah, that's what I read somewhere.
Even just driving down through Mount Evelyn and things like that, it's just unbelievable to see what occurred. And it must have been, for the people to be living there at the time and experiencing that, must have been incredibly frightening. So,
And no power for three or four weeks in some cases.
For some of them, and they've only just got it back. Like, we missed out for 3 days, and that was difficult enough, but compared to others, we were very fortunate. Yeah. So, we were a little bit fortunate there. COVID, of course, is continuing to have the impact that it's having all around the place. For us, particularly in the Warburton area, because there's a lot of programs and projects and events, most of those have been cancelled for the last 18 months, and even through our community grants program, there's a lot of grants that we've given out and they haven't been able to spend it, so we're allowing them, obviously, to roll it over. So, it's been much quieter, of course. It's been really good recently that since people have been able to travel, it's certainly been pretty busy in the valley. But we need a lot more of that to make sure that our businesses continue to flourish.
Yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough for businesses as well, of course, as we well know. So, Rod, you mentioned, I mean, we've talked on this program about the support you've given for local sports. So we won't perhaps focus on that today. We've talked about the amazing stuff that you've been doing with renewable energy and the hydro scheme. But you're also heavily involved in education and research. Let's, well, for those of us who perhaps don't live in Warburton or Yarra Junction, tell us about some of the schools. Let's see, we've got a number of primary schools and secondary schools there. So let's, what are they, Rod?
Well, so you've obviously got up Yarra Secondary College.
College, yes.
You've got the Steiner School in Yarra Junction in terms of secondary schools, and then a range of primary schools through Gladysdale, Warburton, East Warburton, Yarra Junction, of course. So there's quite a few of those, and we support all of those, or have been supporting all of those over a number of years.
Terrific.
Wouldn't mind mentioning a couple of projects.
Yeah, no, let's talk about a couple of projects.
Yeah, relatively recently.
Fantastic.
At Yarra Junction Primary School, they're doing an outdoor playground with a range of cubbies. So we supported them through that. That's part of their 125th
So they've been there a while, Rod.
Yeah. So, and we're really excited that one of those cubbies was actually a Bendigo Bank branch. So we're indoctrinating the young very early. So that was a really good project and we were happy to be involved in. Warburton Primary, for some time, we've been supporting their sensory garden program. So,
okay.
You know, help the kids at the school to grow and get an understanding of, you know, the feel, the taste.
So that's herbs and vegetables and things like that?
Yeah, all those sorts of things. And it's sort of generally based around their playgroup as well. So it's getting kids very young learning and it goes on through primary school. So there are a couple of projects we've been involved in that we've been really pleased to see how they've evolved.
What happens with the produce then, Rod? Do they end up in meals or cooking? Or something like that?
They certainly used to. I'm not sure that they do now, so I'm not sure what's happened since COVID has occurred, and it may well have changed, but they also used to have a cooking program.
Terrific.
So,
terrific.
To be able to see it from seed to consuming, very exciting for the kids.
I mean, kids at that early age, often, you know, if you can get them interested in these things then, that you know, it can last a lifetime.
Absolutely. And what a great location to be interested in those sorts of things. And, it's a great program.
Yes.
And well done to the primary school.
Yes. Have you found that teachers, as a former teacher, I should say, do the teachers get involved? Are they excited about these sorts of initiatives, Rod?
Oh, certainly. And they're the ones that are pushing and promoting it. And they talk about it. My wife's an ex-teacher as well, so at Warburton Primary, in fact. It's all part of the way education is changing too, isn't it?
So a big shout out to parents and, well, maybe a few kids listening today, given that it is school holidays. I know you'll be missing school terribly and really looking forward to going back next week, he says. I remember as a former teacher thinking of those school holiday times, Rod. But what about the secondary school? What about Upper Yarra Secondary College? What have you done with them, Rod?
Well, one of the things we have, Bruce, is a scholarship program and it's more for those that are moving from secondary into tertiary.
Great.
So we have an annual program where people who might need help to fund their tertiary education, they can apply for a scholarship and we give some, reasonable, substantial funds towards that program. I couldn't tell you how many people provided funding over the years, but
with a particular focus area, right?
Well, it's about helping them to be able to, you know, it might be to pay for accommodation, travel, even their equipment or books or whatever they require to enable them to.
And that could be in Victoria or interstate
Interstate. The applicants we want from our region and generally will have gone through Upper Yarra, but as long as they live in the Warburton Valley. They can apply and it's a great program. And to see these kids and we generally catch up with them 12 months later and to see how much they appreciate the contribution. And in some cases, without it, they wouldn't be able to make that tertiary steps.
Makes the difference.
Big difference. So we're very proud of that.
Is that a one-year scholarship or could be longer than that, Rod?
Well, it's a one-off scholarship that, and they need to acquit it, if you like, but on the basis that whatever they need to do to take that step where they might not have been able to, they do that. And we call that the Jeff Vickers Scholarship Program. So terrific. Jeff's one of our foundation
members.
He's
a bit of a legend around the place as well.
He certainly is. So,
if you're listening, Jeff, good morning to you as well. Fantastic. We're going to come back and we're going to hear more about some of the amazing activities that are happening, including some of the things that are happening at ECOS with our very own Rick Butler here. But we've got lots of heroes, as you're hearing. Jeff Vickers is one of those. So let's have a bit of Ice House and Heroes. You with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Thanks for joining us this morning. We have the amazing Shani on the switchboard this morning filling in for Cora. Cora, hello to you if you're listening. My very special guests here in the studio, Rod McHale and Rick Butler. we've been talking, well, all things Warburton, Upper Yarra, and, well, ECOS is part of that, Rick.
It is.
It is. And, well, ECOS, where do we start? Let's start with an assumption that there might be a listener out there that doesn't know what ECOS is. So you better tell us what ECOS is. There you go.
Yeah, well, ECOS is some land in Wesburn next door to the transfer station. And the land was actually bought by the council to extend the tip probably about 30 years ago, but then digging holes and putting rubbish in and having landfill is not the way we deal with this anymore. So and it turned into a transfer station. So the land, which was an old chook farm, was bought by the council and was really sitting there doing nothing. I got involved when the Upper Yarra Community House took it over as a work training site for work programs for the unemployed, and when the government was heavily into training, that sort of model changed and the land was sitting there. So another group of us thought we'd been looking at Seary in Fitzroy, which has been a long-standing environmental park with training and teaching people about how to live sustainably. So we took it on as a sort of a rural version of Seary, and that was about 17 years ago.
Wow.
So the same community, a lot of people on the committee have been there all that time. So we're a group of volunteers, and we've turned the site into an education and experience for a huge range of people. We do a lot of work with disabled people. We have carers coming with disabled, getting involved. There's a community garden. There's a pottery studio, which has been very successful.
I didn't realise that.
There's a big meeting hall. People like the B group, and there's lots. And we've had weddings and funerals and barn dances and fundraisers. So that's been there. That was built by Work for the Dole group about 5 years ago. We have a 2-acre biodynamic vegetable growing business there, which has been hugely successful. Tobias and his partner Josh have turned that into an amazing profitable little business, and they supply fruit and vegetables for our market, which we have every Friday. We have a fruit and vegetable and general market every Friday, and that was hugely successful over COVID, because it was allowed people. We were by council let us keep running the market as a fresh food market, and we had an enormous number of people coming because it was their big day out, and I think the people started to think that was about the only thing they could do during lockdown. So they've been coming, and we've continued that on every Friday from 3 o'clock until about 6 o'clock. We've had music on at various times. So
that's ECOS, Rick,
every Friday.
Okay.
And then on Saturday morning from 10 until 1. So I think if we're talking about education, we're about educating people how to live sustainably. We have workshops. We've got lots of school groups coming, primary school particularly coming. We've also had a lot of school groups coming doing building projects, building pizza ovens, and we've got an African bag house that the kids from Healesville High built. If you turn up any one day during the week, you'll see 30, 40 people there. And we've also got a grant for what we're calling Crops for Community, which is about using the vegetable growing, the community garden, to grow food for, usually by the disabled groups have been doing this, and we've been then donating the food to the likes of Koha and selling it at the market and raising money and giving it to people that are struggling. So, yeah, that's been hugely successful. Wow,
what a story. I knew ECOS was doing amazing things. I did not realise the extent of it, to be honest. Rick, we better have a program on just on ECOS, I reckon, one day.
Yeah.
that's absolutely fantastic. And fresh food market all the way through COVID. I've just put it in my diary here, 3 to 6 on a Friday and 10 to 1 on a Saturday. It's on my list, Rick. I'm going to get down there and haven't been to the fresh food market, so that's terrific. Wow. There you go. You're also, your other hat you wear, Rick, is a tiny house hat. And you know I've got an interest in this area, but we have had a program here. If you want to search on our podcast, you'll find the program that Rick and I did, I think it was a year or so ago.
That's correct,
On tiny houses. But perhaps, Rick, just because we won't have time to talk about it, just people who might be interested to know more about tiny houses that are listening, tell our listeners where they could find out more.
Well, we build, that's another activity that happens at ECOS. We build tiny houses. Through COVID, the whole thing sort of came to a bit of a halt. But my partner and I have been a little bit run off our feet at the moment. We've got a few orders. So the tiny houses are used for B&Bs or for and for emergency housing, and particularly I think for people who are struggling to pay a mortgage. Mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. a great alternative for people, particularly single people, and a lot of interest in women in their sort of 50s and 60s who have found it a bit difficult. It's been amazing. I'm part of the Australian Tiny House Association. So if anybody wants any information about tiny houses and permits and who can build them and where you can put them and any information about tiny houses, get onto the Tiny House Association website and you'll get a lot of interesting stuff.
There you go. Or just have a search on Yarra Valley FM podcast from last year and you'll find the interview, the conversation that Rick and I had back then. Rod, before we go to a song, perhaps just a flag to people. You do have a grants information night coming up in just a couple of weeks. Can we just give that a little plug?
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to. Thanks, Bruce. So on Monday the 26th of July at 7 p.m, it'll be down at the Yarra Junction Bowls Club. So that's our annual major program.
So if there are people in the community groups, not-for-profit groups who are interested in getting support, that would be a good place to start.
Absolutely. I think it's important to go along, and we'll be running that program through a group called the Community Enterprise Foundation. And they'll be there to explain the process, make it easy for everybody, and from there we'll be able to support them through the grant application process. So 26th of July at 7 p.m. at the Yarra Junction Bowls Club.
And is there a particular focus this year, Rod, at all, or is it just, it could be anything community? There's not a particular focus?
No. In the last 12 months we have tried to focus on COVID recovery.
Yes.
But we're now saying we're happy to, you know, broaden any support we can provide to the community, depending on how many grants we get and the funds are available. But it's exciting times, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
Fantastic. We'll hear more about some of the other education initiatives. But let's, a bit closer to home, let's have a listen to Maureen.
Shining through, well, I'll be there with you. Put your arms around me, honey, 'cause I got my money on you. I waited for you so long. Maureen, you got shining hair. I see you lying there and I'm gone. So let's get it on tonight. Sun comes shining through. Well, I'll be there with you. I want you now. Love me tonight, Maureen.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. Thanks for joining us on a cool winter morning. It's 5 degrees here in the studio at the moment, heading for a maximum of 14 degrees today, 15 tomorrow and 15 the next day, minimums of 3 degrees overnight. We certainly know we're in winter, don't we? Here in the studio, I have Rod and Rick, and we're talking, well, among other things, we've been talking about ECOS, we've been talking tiny houses. Most of all, though, this morning, we're focusing on education and local initiatives, local projects that Rod and the team at Upper Yarra Community Enterprise Limited are supporting and encouraging community, really, to get involved. Rod, you were talking off-air about the Voices of Women initiative. Tell us a little bit about Voices of Women. I can only guess what that might be.
So there's a number of projects that they run where women within the community provide their stories. So they invite people along to come and listen to their stories and inspire people to move on to, you know, to take on various activities to give them confidence. And so I think they run a couple of years and we've provided support to them in the past. And that runs right throughout the Yarra Rangers Council, but we're keen to support particularly those that undertaken in our catchment area. So yeah, it's been a good project, and a couple of local ladies that I know quite well have been involved in that. So yeah, that's been a good project to be part of.
Terrific, terrific. And is that's about, as you say, building confidence, giving perhaps inspiration, telling stories, encouraging others to think about doing the same?
Yeah, to believe and, you know, trust that you can do what you achieve, what you want to achieve, and good news stories and even some difficult stories and how they overcame it. So
terrific, terrific. Mm-hmm. And another project I've seen that you've been involved with is Yes to Respect. Respect's one of my favourite words. So tell us about Yes to Respect.
So there was it didn't occur last year in COVID, but the year before there was a Yes to Respect march in. It was held in Warburton, and it was a couple of local people who decided they just wanted to get the message out there that you know, that we need to you know, certainly show respect. And so they organised the walk. It went for, it was about a 2 kilometre walk from the golf club down to the ADRA Community Centre. It was for the first event. There was probably 50 or 60. I went on the walk myself and enjoyed it. And it was a good opportunity just to show the community, you know, joining together and talking about activities and other opportunities to just show respect to whether it be women, whether it be the Indigenous community, whether First Nations people. So it was a really good and well supported.
Fantastic.
I'm hoping that goes ahead again this year.
Yes, we're all hoping that as you said earlier on, hoping that we can get involved in a few more activities on the ground, Rod. So that Yes to Respect is about respecting culture and diversity in the local community, and obviously the community embraced it pretty well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, if it could continue, I think it would grow each year as well. So, and I know the council, the local council, very supportive of it as well.
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's change tack, listeners, just for a moment. For those of you who might be perhaps a little more arty and crafty than perhaps I am, Rod, you've even funded pottery. tell us about pottery. That sounds...
Rick would probably be best to talk about
Rick.
That.
But, all right,
because it was run out of ECOS.
Okay. Rick, tell us about the pottery initiative.
The pottery studio at ECOS is something that the bank supported about 2 years ago. And it really kicked the whole building. And we had to... Because we've got chook sheds, we've been fortunate enough to be able to use the chook sheds as a basic structure for a lot of these buildings that happens at ECOS. And the pottery studio is run by Lucy, and she runs classes there during the week. We've got the kilns, and it's got about 5-6 wheels, I think.
Wow.
And also she takes in kids and kids programs from out of school programs for children. It's been a huge success.
And so even though it's in the chook sheds, it's not a poultry amount.
No, and we're also just about to build a similar space for what we're going to call a youth space or an upcycling space for kids to come along out of school and recycle and fix and look after their push bikes. So we're going to be rebuilding them and selling them, and that's being heavily supported by the Dirt by Gert business in Yarra Junction, which is going to use it as an overflow workshop for their Yarra Junction premises. So that's pretty
exciting. Rick, how do you find kids embrace pottery? I mean, it's probably quite different to what they're typically
doing.
Well,
I think the primary school age really enjoy getting their hands dirty and getting in there. And, it's been a very interesting program. And I think it really, for the younger kids, it's been good. But the adults are obviously the ones that are doing some really interesting, beautiful work. And, it's been a great success. Thanks to the bank kicking it off.
Fantastic. Rod, going back to you, how do you decide which of these initiatives you get involved with? Because there's lots of opportunities, aren't there, community-wise? Obviously, we've heard about pottery. How do you decide which initiatives you're going to get involved with?
So there's an open application process, so people can go online or they can do it on forms if they like, but basically these days it's online. We have quite a clear criteria. This particular round we're moving into with CEF, the Community Enterprise Foundation, they have a very well-structured program. They go through, evaluate, do research, and they provide recommendations back to the board, and then supports the board in Great. Being able to make a decision. But we've developed some pretty clear criteria about who we want to support, and it's a matter of how we can do. We'd love to do more, but there's it's finite dollars.
But one of the things, unless I'm mistaken, Rod, one of the key criteria is that it has to be a local project.
Absolutely. So it needs to involve. It doesn't necessarily have to be run from someone within the community, long as it provides community benefit within our what we're calling the Yarra Valley area. So certainly they need to be operating locally. There's quite a... It takes about 2 months to work through the process. Yep. So we go through quite a bit of work to review and make sure that we allocate to get the best benefit. Of course, every dollar we give brings in probably $5, $6, $10 back into the community. So, that's also part of the economic benefit that can occur as a result of these activities.
Fantastic. And you're listening to Rod McHale, and we're talking, community initiatives. And we're also talking with Rick Butler, and we've been speaking about ECOS briefly, the pottery studio, tiny houses, and, building all sorts of things. And so why wouldn't we have a look at, have a listen to Ed Sheeran and Lego House? There you go.
I'm gonna pick up the pieces and build a Lego house. If things go wrong, we can knock it down. Three words have two meanings, but there's one thing on my mind. It's all for you, and it's all
in the cold December, but I got you to keep me warm. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on. Now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. Now I'm gonna paint you by numbers and color you in. If things go right, we can frame it and put you on a wall. And it's so hard to say it, but I've been it before. Now I'll surrender up my heart, swap it for yours. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. Don't hold me down. The braces are breaking, and it's more than I can take. And it's dark in the cold December, but I got you to give me warm. If you're broken, I will mend you, and I keep you sheltered from the storm that's raging on. Now I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of sight, I'm out of mind. I'll do it all for you in time. And out of all these things I've done, I think I love you better now. I'm out of touch, I'm out of love. I'll pick you up when you're getting down. And out of all these things I've done, I will love you better now.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And a big thanks to Shani this morning for being on the switchboard. Cora's having a week off. Cora, I think you might be listening this morning, so you've got a wonderful replacement here in Shani on the switchboard. So there you go. It takes a lot of people to keep Yarra Valley FM going hour by hour. We were just talking about that off air, Shani and I, and just saying that to keep a community radio program, a community radio station going 24/7 requires an incredible team, an incredible group of volunteers, and we have an amazing group. So well done to the team here at Yarra Valley FM 99.1. My special guests this morning have been Rod McHale and Rick Butler, and we've been talking, well, mostly education today and some of the amazing groups, some of the amazing initiatives that are happening under our very noses here in Warburton and Yarra Junction and around the valley. Just really some wonderful, wonderful stories. If you're a parent, perhaps on school supervising your kids or spending time with your kids on school holidays, you might be listening this morning. You might want to get your kids involved in pottery or something like that, Rick, along the way. If you're a teacher, I hope you're having a wonderful school holiday break. Rod, we've got an opportunity on the 26th of July for people who are interested in getting support for their initiative. I'll give a need to register for this event. You can just go on an email. It's admin at upperyarra.net.au. I'll say that one more time, admin@upperyarra.net.au. Rod, why would people come on? Just remind us, why would people come along on the 26th of July?
So it's an opportunity to understand the process moving forward for our next round of community grants. that'll occur through July, August, September. There's a great opportunity for a whole range of groups to seek funding to support their individual programs. So get on board.
There you go. And it's being held at Rod, the Yarra Junction Bowls Club?
That's correct. It's 7 o'clock on the 26th.
But you do need to register. So if you miss that, it's admin@upperyarra.net.au. Make sure you sign up and you'll get the details when you do that. We've been talking education. Rod, the pressures on our education system have been exacerbated through COVID, not to mention storms and so on. There is a real need for community initiatives that support our schools, support our education, that perhaps take us down different pathways from what you were talking about before, community gardens, Rick, the pottery and so on. These are really much needed programs now.
Yeah, I think particularly home learning, from what I'm hearing, has made quite an impact to a lot of young kids and put back their education somewhat. Whilst parents have done a fantastic job, I'm sure, there's no doubt that there's nothing better than that in-school learning. It's been interesting to me that over the last 18 months there haven't been a lot of grant applications because activities haven't been occurring. So we're hoping that now that we are tending to get certainly more inoculations. We're hoping people are looking to be out there in the next 3, 6, 12 months and organising programs to support not just the schools and education, but we're hoping that they're really being proactive, and we want them to be proactive now, and we can help them hopefully deliver some of those projects. It's really interesting to see some of the things. You know, just to give you a bit of an example.
Please.
Over the years, like Body Image Group, the Girls Movement, Dad's Group, Stories of Our Elders. There's a whole range of... And they're all about education. They're all about learning and
awareness. Lifelong learning,
yeah,
really,
yeah.
Rod.
So there's so many programs and projects out there, and we're hoping to be able to support, you know, as many of those as we can. But hopefully they'll be able to deliver them in the next, because there's no doubt a lot of them have sort of gone into recession for a little while. So,
terrific.
Yeah, hopefully the next 12 months is going to be a really exciting time for those sort of programs and projects.
Rick Butler, we might give you the final word this morning because, when I listened to you before, the initiatives that are happening there at ECOS around education and support and community are just really amazing. We're going to give you another 30 seconds just to tell us a little bit more about ECOS.
Well, I think the thing that I'd also like to say is we're very interested in having volunteers come and help us run the place. As I say, we're all volunteers. We do have a couple of paid staff. Chelsea McNabb is the manages the programs, but we mainly run on volunteers. So if anybody's got any idea they'd like to come and garden or paint or do a bit of repairs or any handyman, we're very, very happy to see you and give some hours to improving the place.
There you go. Wonderful opportunity for some people who are listening this morning to get involved. Can I just say, Rick and Rod, thanks so much for coming in this morning. It's been a great conversation. Shani, thanks for filling in on the switchboard. And listeners, we look forward to your company again, same time next week, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning. And as we move forward, well, we're all hanging out for spring, I know, and some warmer weather. But Rod and Rick, thanks so much, and look forward to seeing you around the traps.
Thanks, been a pleasure.